The mayor is in the studio. Mayor Jeff Makubo, of course, yesterday outlining his priorities and the key issues the city of Johannesburg faces. This was in his State of the City address. He spoke about strategic priorities like billing, road infrastructure, potholes, services and waste management, water shortages as some of the issues he's going to be dealing with. Can he win you over, resident of this city? It's an election year. Believe me, he'll probably say he cares about your concerns all the time. But believe you me, there's no better time than this to make sure the mayor hears your concerns. So call us a notable 1-883-0702. I won't hog the conversation, I promise you. Mr. Mayor, Clive, can you just press the mayor's button there? There we go. Mr. Mayor, welcome to 702 Breakfast. We really appreciate you coming into the studio this morning.
Thank you very much, Bongani, and good morning to the listeners and good morning to you.
You've outlined your priorities in your State of the City address, and some of it is political speak, as it would be. We have tried to build Johannesburg as a world African city. Is it?
Not yet.
World-class African city, I mean.
Yes,
is it?
Yes, not yet, but we are on our way there. Hence, we've got a long-term plan, and this is the plan that's unfolding now. We did say in the speech yesterday that the plan was disrupted by the political happenings of 2016, and of course, in 2020 by COVID-19. So we spent a better part of 2020 responding to COVID-19, trying to rebuild from there, you know, the services, the economy, and all that. And we are at that stage now where we want to thrive towards being a world-class African city.
The disruption you refer to, of course, is the loss of power in the metro by the ANC. People would say you've had a long time as the governing party to deal with the issues Johannesburg faces. This has now become a city of grime and crime, and many will even say it doesn't give a dime.
Well, if you were here in 1992 in Johannesburg and you compare Johannesburg to today, the growth of Johannesburg, people coming in migration, the growth of many townships, you know, the consolidation, the building of even Sandton itself, where we are here, the growth of Sandton, because Melrose was built in the democratic government, you know, Waterfall. So if you look at Johannesburg 1992, Johannesburg today, we're accepting 10,000 people a month into Johannesburg, 120,000, many of them very poor, and sitting on the fringes, staying on the fringes of the city in poverty.
Of course, the city, as the economic hub of the country, was always going to be a city of growth. That's, you know, the natural consequence of the resources that are here. But explain to me how we've had, say, for example, a billing problem since 2009 that we are still battling to resolve.
I think that, you know, when I joined government in 2011 as MMC Finance, where the billing problem was and where it is today, I think that if an error rate of 1% a month, of course, if it's an error on your account, it's an error too much. I mean, we were sitting in billing queries a month of around 55,000 then, from 2009, 2011. Now we reduced to about 4,000 a month. The issue here is how to quickly respond to the query as the customers raise their queries. But I'm satisfied that largely we have broken the back of the billing problem. We want 100% an error-free billing process, but you know, because these are metered services, water is a metered service, electricity is a metered service, finger problems and other things that happen throughout, you know, from a meter to a verification system into the subsystem, tariffing, into producing a bill, it's actually a process, and I don't think that it can be error-free. I don't think there's any city in the world that's error-free.
We're taking your calls on 011-883-0702. I'm going to give you a chance to speak directly to the mayor. But Mr. Mayor, you came back to the Executive Council with still some questions around your own past. The EOH matter, the contracts, the issues you've had to go to the Zonda Commission to go and speak about. You still insist there was no conflict of interest in you receiving money from businesses that were doing business with the city, even when in areas that you had oversight.
You know, these are issues that I can vast one in the Ethics Committee of Council. It's with the Integrity Commissioner. It's with the Zondo Commission. And I think I've articulated the points in the Zondo Commission, but I don't want to prejudge what the outcome would be. I'm very convinced that the issues that I was answering started when I was in business in 2005, but I want to leave it there because, you know, they were canvassed publicly. Sure. And they're still to be adjudicated.
I raise it because the EOH contract obviously now is not going to be renewed. A cynic might say, Stephen Van Collier has come forward, come clean. That process is now being changed by EOH. No more money to cream of tenders.
I think, you know, he's at the side of the story. Completely wrong, I think. He misread what was happening at that time in 2016, because he's talking about things of 2016 July, just before elections. So I'm not even sure what he was referring to. If the time's to answer and to respond to him, we'll do that. If we have to cross question.
So you're not canceling the contract because the taps have run dry?
No, we're not doing that. It's run out and they want to pull out of the city. The previous city manager came to me and said, these guys want to pull out, and said, look, go to the market and find the alternatives.
All right, we're taking your calls, 011-883-0702. We've taken some already. Issues around the crime rate. The mayor has made specific promises to try and tackle some of the power challenges many residents of the city face. I want to ask him, for example, about the filth in Johannesburg. There are areas in the CBD that are dump sites. There by the High Court, for example, you see food waste on the streets, disposable nappies. There's the foul stench of urine. Surely that kind of thing is intolerable in a city that aims to be world class. We'll take your questions directly to the mayor. We've got the mayor with us here in studio. Mr. Mayor, it's really, really appreciated that you've taken the time to come and talk to us. Yesterday, you were outlining your priorities for what you want to do for the city of Johannesburg going forward. One of the issues that constantly comes up is Eskom and power, right? You're saying you want to take over some of power provision because councillors, for example, get attacked for things the city has no control over.
Yes, we are negotiating with Eskom to get the Eskom supply areas into the city. The negotiations are ongoing. So we're still working with National Treasury, with COCTA National, with Department of Enterprises, Eskom itself. But the task teams are at work, hard at work. It's true that our councillors are under pressure. I mean, today I was looking at our councillors' WhatsApp group. It's actually bad in Soweto, it's bad in Diepsloot. They're being attacked here.
But part of Eskom's load reduction policy is to deal with those communities that use power they don't pay for. How will it be different if the city takes over?
Well, we think that we will get into a different social compact. We are politically responsible for those areas anyway. We supply water, roads, and housing.
Sure,
and
those but those areas. Services must be paid for.
Yes, I agree. I'm saying that the communities must be brought through. Many of these communities agree, as Eskom goes, to prepaid, to split metering for their electricity to be restored. So it's happening throughout Soweto and other areas. So I think we'll be able to manage.
You've got to tell me how. Look, what we don't want is to have electioneering and make a nice promise that practically is not good. I want to understand if residents who are in fact turning Eskom employees away when they want to install prepaid meters, when they want to make sure that people use electricity and services that they pay for, they get turned away. How are you going to do it differently? How are you going to manage it differently?
I've been on the belly of the beast. I've been in communities when Eskom and communities have been in conflict. I've been in White City, I've been in Chawela, engaging, mediating, getting communities to agree to split metering. Communities buying, many of the communities are starting to buy electricity. The rate of vending in Eskom is increased. I mean, we're seeing our vending in Johannesburg, especially for water, is starting to take a turn because we're losing a lot of water. People are not paying.
Okay.
We're doing the same in Orange Farm. So I think communities are starting to realize that they have to contribute to Eskom and to Johannesburg Water.
We've got Debucho on the line from Braamfontein. Debucho, you've got a thought for the mayor on exactly this issue. Go ahead. He's listening.
Hi, Bongani. I just wanted to say to the mayor that Eskom technicians are the source of the blackouts in those townships that he has mentioned. So whatever the city decides, taking over those technicians from Eskom must not be one of the issues they did. Okay, must not be one of the things that they're gonna do. It's gonna be a bad idea. They tamper with those meters in the townships for a fee. If you're gonna move those people to city power, you are inviting something that you cannot control. And the last thing, Bongani, is it only those four or five areas that were mentioned, Ivory Park, Orange Farm, Soweto, and whatever, or is it all the townships that fall under ESCOM in the city of Johannesburg?
All right, let's put that down. Thank you, Debogo, for that call. Mr. Mayor, responses to that. He says you are opening up a Pandora's box. Corruption is behind some of this.
I think it's interesting from what he's saying. I mean, we are aware that some of the technicians would be called to come and restore outside the process. Some communities paying. ESCOM is aware of that. Communities have raised it with us, and we've raised it with ESCOM. And I know that their fraud unit is investigating that. So it's a source of concern that it's been happening in one or two communities in Soweto. But our negotiations with ESCOM is wall to wall, so that the entirety of Johannesburg is with us.
Let's go to John in Roodepoort. Your question, John, for the mayor. Go ahead.
Thanks, Morgan. Two questions from our side. When will the mayor start instructing JMPD that when there's load shedding, they must be manning the road, the robots, so that they can direct traffic? In other words, and what happens, you see them right after the robot.
Got you, John. Got you. You've made that question. Let's put it to the mayor. Let's see what he has to say to that. I want to get through as many as possible. John's gone. JMPD, during load shedding, why aren't they manning the traffic lights?
We're trying to get them to, especially the regional JMPDs, they'd know when there's load shedding. We wouldn't know from the center. But, you know, we're now back with the insurance points people. So they are augmenting our capacity of the JMPD to do traffic control and pointsman duty during times like this and during peak time.
Okay. Mapula's in Roodepoort. Your question for the mayor. Mapula, go ahead.
Hi. Bongani, I just want to find out from the mayor why they have turned the Roodepoort particularly Bedburg into a stepchild of Johannesburg. I mean, this area is totally ignored. I mean, you look at our roads, and I'm going to mention CR Swart towards Velger Road. I mean, that road has been patched and patched and patched. The road from Colette Street into Ondekas, it has been patched and patched and patched. Roodepoort town itself has become a slum area.
Okay.
It's a slum.
All right.
Know, what is happening?
Okay, Mapula, thank you for that call. Why is Roodepoort a slum, Mayor?
Roodepoort is one of our focal areas. Roodepoort, Randburg, the former inner cities of Johannesburg and surrounds. With this accelerated service delivery program, we'll be going street by street, word by word. I did tell the colleagues in Region E and Region B that we will be coming to them. We're still finishing Midrand, which is Region A, and Region G, which is the Deep South. And then we'll be going on to all areas. We are a bit worried about the state of Roodepoort.
And other areas, as you say, the inner city. I mean, what are you doing with the slum lords? My sense is you don't even know necessarily how many people reside in some of the buildings in the inner city, in areas like Hillbrow. Hence, we're seeing so many challenges with waste management.
I think that's part of the problem. You know, when I arrived, General CB had that mandate. He still has that mandate to deal with hijacked buildings, to deal with derelict buildings. We still hard at work, but it's a big battle that we're having with the slum lords, with the building hijackers. Some of them foreign nationals. So it's a big battle, but it's a battle that we'll win nevertheless.
I've got in front of me pictures that were reported in The Star, the hijacking of Florence Nightingale. That hospital that used to provide services is now an area that's been taken over by vagrants. Even something as iconic as that has been lost.
Part of the problem is the owners of our buildings, that they abandon their buildings, they don't look after their buildings. They leave it to the responsibility of the city to look after their own buildings. I mean, when you look for owners of these derelict buildings that owe the city a lot of money, some of them you can't even find, they're in Australia or something like that. But, you know, I think this is an indictment on the city of Johannesburg, the landscape. Florence Nightingale used to be one of the flagships of our city.
You should see these pictures. I'm trying to point them to you.
Have you seen them?
It's quite extraordinary. It's in The Star today if you want to have a look at it. I've mentioned this area near the High Court, for example, in Johannesburg, that small street area, it's a virtual dumping site. The stench of urine you can find on any given day, disposable nappies, food wastage. You've got these informal traders who are operating in an environment of absolute, absolute filth. That's intolerable, surely.
It is. I agree with you. We are working with the court itself. We're working with the Methodist Church to try and get that whole precinct back. You know, the Pitchy Chambers, the other chambers around those areas. You know what's
the problem?
We have picked it up cleaning the city 3 times a day. I mean, if you go 4 o'clock in the morning, it's actually quite clean there.
Yeah.
But go around 7 o'clock. The people just don't care about the environment where they live. I mean, we tried to control, you know, informal trading around about 2013 under former Park Star. They went to court. We lost the case in the High Court. And I mean, in the Constitutional Court, that they
what about police visibility?
Region F, we call it F1, the Region F police, by law enforcement, really stretch, but we are capacitating it with the intakes and all that, because that whole area, I mean, from around, what used to be Commissioner Street to Bree Street, through that whole belt of a small street, you know, from Carlton Center.
Yeah.
It is a worry.
So we say we can't do anything about it?
No, we're still throwing, the bodies on it. We sweep twice a day. I mean, you can go there now, pick it up, is there. Again, you know, the shopkeepers, the traders there, they have to pay, you know, for their skip bins. They have to pay commercial rates for waste management, you know. And then what they do is that they just dump on the road so that they can avoid to pay. One or two of them have been fined because they've been caught on camera doing that. It's actually quite a problem. The problem
police,
is
more police were there, they might not do it. Let's get through some of these calls, Mayor. Rocky is in Roodepoort. You want to talk about illegal connections. Rocky, go ahead.
Hello, Ebongani. Just want to find out what the mayor is planning to do with the legal connections around the informal settlements. For instance, we have got 2 informal settlements here. We have got Princess, we have got Mkhangeni. Go there, it's horrible. The electric wires are crisscrossing. And now and again, people get electrocuted there in those informal settlements,
okay.
And nothing is done.
Gotcha. Illegal connections and informal settlements, Mayor?
Big problem. Part of the grants we get from National because of the delay in delivery of houses is to block, you know, to order the informal settlements and electrify them. We've electrified some of them, but the ones that he's referring to, I know Princess is being improved and upgraded so that they can be. It's the process to be slow, but Mkhangeni itself, it needs a whole lot of work because it's on the flat line. It's just next to the stream, right in Roodepoort. It's very near to Westgate. So I know the areas. I've been there myself. So we'll be working on them.
Lucky in Deep Kloof, you want to talk about dilapidated buildings and hostels?
Yeah, morning, Bohan.
Hi, Lucky. Go ahead. Hello. The mayor's listening.
Yeah, you know, I live in Deep Kloof hostel here, you know, and the place is so dilapidated. It's dirty. You know, we've had promise after promise. Paul Mashatile came. Nomvula Mokonyan also came. There's Bachinchisan and Ati Lavantu. There's Mikukus all over.
Yeah, every politician comes. Yeah, every politician comes with promises. Lucky, that's what you are saying. Mr. Mayor, how are you different?
The province has built houses around to try and improve the Deep Kloof hostels, but we think that it was a wrong product because it was the CRUs where the residents had to rent and all that. So there was not an agreement between the residents and those houses. So they stayed empty for a while, and unfortunately they've been badly vandalized because it was meant to be a block by block improvement of the Deep Kloof hostel. The province, I think, is still committed to that because it's not in our jurisdiction to look after that hostel.
So what can you say to Lucky?
No, I'm saying to Lucky that we are working, you know, we are working with province, and he knows if ever he's part of the committee that.
Yeah, he says he's heard those promises before.
But the houses were built. the houses were built around Deep Kloof Hostel. It's only that, as they say, I think they looked for RDP houses as giveaways. Meanwhile, the product that was built was a CRU, was a rental stock. And so there was a mismatch between what the community of hostel was.
So they were built without consultation?
I'm not sure because they were built by province, but I think that later on with hindsight, we realized that we built the wrong product for the wrong community in Hostel, because we should have built maybe high-rise PNG product. In fact, what the city housing was saying to me around Dubai now, not even to prove that, say, look, let's refurbish this and turn them into giveaways, because otherwise it's a waste. It's really fruitless expenditure.
Lerato is in Boksburg. Lerato, your question for the mayor?
Mr. Mayor, I just want to find out what the mayor is going to do about the vagrants down Moy Street, under bridges, when we go into Kazin, City Deep, Anderson Street off-ramps. All the bridges, there are squatter camps developing right under Moy Street. I want to say to Mr. Mayor, take a drive down Johannesburg and see for yourself. Don't believe in hearsay. Because if a tourist comes into this country one night and off-ramp in Moy Street and they didn't know what was happening, it's going to be a big problem.
Gotcha, Lerato.
When you go to Wemapan, it's sinking in and nothing has been done. It's more than 3 months.
Gotcha, Lerato. I think Magdalene in Soweto has the same concern. Quickly, Magdalene, go ahead. The mayor's listening.
Mayor, good morning. I just want to find out, how are you going to control crime in the CBD? You know, it's not safe anymore to walk in Joburg. People are mad during the day. People have been killed. I've been working there for more than, I think, 6 years. And it was quite nice moving from walking from Braamfontein to Forsberg. But now I'm scared because of the crime. The crime is high there. Thank you.
Thank you, Magdalene. Vagrants under the bridges in the CBD, crime in the CBD?
The issue of vagrants and displaced people, it's a big issue. We take them to shelters and homes, they come out with the next day. I mean, it's not only in the CBD. Rivonia Road under the bridge, if you go to Oxford Road under the bridge, we remove them all the time. I mean, I stay in the south of Johannesburg. There's one who set up shop right next to Southgate. We remove them all the time. We need to find a lasting solution with these vagrants, especially the ones who set up shop in the open spaces in our parks, Delta Park, George Lee Park in Sandton. They've set up shop there, so we need to deal with that. I mean, our social development, we've been removing them continuously. You know, that like these guys who clean the windscreens on the off ramp and the on ramps. I mean, that's not legal. That's not good, and it's very dangerous especially for crime.
It just seems though that ultimately, whether it's the waste issue, the vagrants, there's a lot of people who, I don't know, shall we say, thumb their nose at the bylaws. There's no enforcement of the bylaws. That's essentially what I'm hearing. I'm not hearing a mayor who's got the capacity to make sure that the bylaws that are in place are enforced.
No, we do. We do. Our BMU, our bylaw enforcement unit, does enforce the bylaws.
Not enough.
So which is why we said, no, we need to change the way of policing. We need to have ward-based, area-based policing from the JMPD side. That's why we talked about the 10 plus. And that plus means you have a building inspector, you have a park ranger, you have all other bylaw enforcement that are not sitting with the JMPD and are sitting elsewhere, you know, building control.
So are you saying that one day window washers on our traffic lights, is that going to be a thing of the past? It doesn't seem like you can ever get a handle on that.
I'm saying that we will be focusing the Region E where we are now, in Sandton, the Region E police in Ward 103 where we are, must... They've got the responsibility as part of the KPIs that all these traffic lights are free of those individuals. And of course, crime, that's why we say localized policing, knowing what's happening in an area. We can, 10 in Sandton and 10 in the inner city is probably not fair. Probably the inner city, you need 20 or 30 because of its densities, because of the level of crimes, because of that. So that's what we were talking about. In the speech, I say local problems need local solutions.
Heidi in Four Ways is raising an issue we've already heard about this morning. You want to talk about William Nicol Drive. Heidi, good morning.
Good morning, Bongani.
Hi, go ahead. The mayor's listening.
Hello. Good morning, Mayor. Sorry, I just wanted to ask, Bongani actually asked my question, that William Nicol between Four Ways and Dipslet and even all the way to the highway has been in disrepair for many, many years now. And I just want to know what's happening.
Okay. All right. We got a call earlier. Thank you, Heidi. Someone says you're busy renaming it. Fix it.
The province has promised me that they'll be fixing it. You know, like the M2.
So that falls under province?
Portions. It's like the M2. There's a portion for the city. There's a portion for... But you can't see where it is. So from around Four Ways Mall, past Dane City, past Dane Fen, right up to Dipslet, that's a provincial part. But then the earlier part is the city. The... We're working with the province, but the province has promised us that the procurement process is finalized, because the earlier guy, I think he collapsed, the earlier was liquidated, the guy was doing the route before the diversion into Riverside. We want the route to be completed, because it links the communities of Deep Slot to economic activity in Foy. So it's in our interest that this route is completed.
Look, there are lots of issues to be dealt with in the city of Johannesburg. We do appreciate you taking the time to come out. My assessment from what you are saying is that you've got to beef up your capacity to at least enforce the bylaws. That's an area that we could start. As you say, localized policing for local problems. It's local government election time this year. We'll see, Mayor, whether or not the residents are buying your message and your ability to deliver a world-class African city. We appreciate your time with us here in studio.
Thanks for having me.
Mayor Jeff Makubo.